A tragic accident changed the course of his life forever. For most, it would have begun a life of discontent and wallowing around in self-misery. For Jonathan Nadeau, it kickstarted a new chapter of inspiration and appreciation. Even though he lost his sight permanently, he gained a passion to put creativity first in all areas of his life. And now, he wants to encourage you to do the same. There are times when you'll be faced with a choice. Be crushed by the weight of the situation, or use the fresh start to rebound bigger, better, and more inspired than ever before. This is Tornado, stories of those who refuse to choose defeat and instead chose to embrace the storm. Here's your host, Jonathan Nadeau.
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for joining us. My name is Jonathan Nadeau. I'm your host here at Embrace Your Storm, and we've got another exciting episode for you as always. We have on today two guests. We have on Diana and we have on Ali Kona. And today we're speaking with Diana. She's actually a return guest. She was on before on the episode we did with her with the Shootist. And man, my brain just totally had a brain fart. And Dan, I apologize. What was the title of the project, this one?
Lost and found.
I apologize, Ali Kona, also, because you wrote this. So I apologize.
Shame.
You know what? I lost it, but it was then found. So
there you go. You know?
So there we go.
You're getting it.
Yeah, exactly. That was part of the plan. So anyways, yes, lost and found. So Diana, thank you for coming on. But Ali Kona, we're going to start with you because Diana's been on before already. So Ali Kona, but before we get to like Lost and Found, what I like to ask everyone first is, how did you find the film industry or film itself as a creative outlet for yourself?
All right, well, buckle up. It's story. So, I actually started off as a dancer. I lived in Vegas for many years. I danced with a hip hop company. I was go-going nightclubs before I was old enough to be in nightclubs. Yeah, so I was doing that. That's why I originally came out to LA. I was going to dance for Janet and Britney and all the people, and I danced on Nickelodeon.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyway, and so that was that. I lived with a guy who was doing a lot of hosting. I love to travel. I've spent my life traveling and I wanted someone to pay me to travel. So I thought, oh, I'm going to make my own travel show. Like I've always been wanting to make my own, content. And so my family is from Hawaii. I called up my cousin and was like, what are you doing this weekend? Can I come over? Like he lived next door or something, you know? So I went over, I had my camera, I filmed a trailer and all these things. And I emailed Travel Channel and told them all the reasons they should hire me. And of course, nobody ever contacted me back. So I started getting into hosting, taking classes, working for different companies. And then I was doing interviews on the red carpet. Constantly interviewing actors. Wow. And I was covering a show that was scripted, but it was about dancers. So they got to dance and act. And I did theater.
That's cool.
So I was like, well, you can do both. Okay, cool. So then I went to the Sanford Meisner Center, which is a 2-year program, did that, graduated, did a bunch of acting classes. And the same thing, I was like, well, nobody's hiring me for anything. I'm not even getting auditions. So I'm just gonna start making my own stuff. So I started making my own stuff. I wrote some movies. They made it onto television.
Really?
And yeah, it was crazy. And then I couldn't audition for them. They filmed them all in 2020 in Vancouver and I couldn't even get to Canada to it. So then when that was done, I decided to write a web series. And I thought, okay, all these casting directors have said, if you tag me in something like constantly, I might see it. So I was like, I'm gonna write a 12 episode web series. I'm gonna tag you 12 different times. And eventually you're gonna see one of them and be like, who is this heifer that keeps tagging me? Well, let me just watch it. And then hopefully you binge watch. But then I met Diana, who was lovely and creative and thought to squish them all together into a short film. And she's put them in all sorts of different amazing film festivals. And we've gotten all sorts of accolades, like totally unexpected. And now here we are today.
Voila.
Sorry.
That's awesome. So Diana, then how did you come across Ali Kona then?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a story too. Not long though. So I have a friend named Joseph Ginetti, and I knew him back from my USC days. He was, I don't want to date him, he hates that, but he was a professor, when I was a student. But he was never my professor though. I just knew him through another friend who had taken his class. And we got along, we've been, friends, just, it's one of those people, how sometimes you just click.
Yeah.
So he's one of my friends that I just like clicked with. I have a few friends like that, and it's rare, but it happens to me, and when it happens, I tend to keep those people around. But and so he was living in China at the time with his wife, and he was like, he had a friend named Amy Zubieta, who is also in the series. She's one of the ensemble, and I think she did some extra writing on it a little bit. She wrote her parts, right, Alexandra?
Yeah.
And so he was speaking with Amy, she mentioned the project, and he's like, oh, you need to meet Diana. And he put us in touch, and we got along, and then I met Alcona, and then the rest of the girls who were doing it, and I was like, yeah, I want to do this. So, and the sad thing is, though, while we were in post, he had a heart attack while in China, and they gave him the wrong medication.
Oh, no.
And yeah, it's a really sad story what happened, because they gave him the wrong medication. His wife was freaking out. She got him to move to another hospital. And when they went to the other hospital, they COVID tested them, and she tested positive. So then they locked her up for like 10 days away in like a room with like five other women, wouldn't tell her anything. They didn't even tell her that he'd passed. He passed like a day later, and they didn't even tell her. Yeah. And it was just a huge ordeal. And she moved here to the States. She's here now. She's fine. She's safe. But like it was bad, like just the whole thing she went through there with the way they'd like lock them in their apartments. We'd only let them out certain days to go and get food. And like, because she had come back and she had had COVID, the people there, I guess, aren't very educated on it. Mm. And they all thought she was like a leper. And so people in her apartment would even like help her with any, like to get food, nothing. Like they would avoid her because they thought because she had had COVID once, that she could give them COVID.
Right. Yeah, she was like, yeah, exactly, like tainted or whatever.
Yeah. When she told me that, I was like, oh my God, like, how do they not know? But yeah, so anyhow, so we ended up putting a dedication at the front of the film for Joseph, and that's why that dedication came, because he's the one who brought us all together for this film.
That's cool. So back to Alicona then. Tell us a little bit about Lost and Found. Like, what's this about?
Okay, so it's about four different friends who were very close as young girls. They grew up doing something called Ladybug Scouts, which is the equivalent of Girl Scouts. And unfortunately, there was a falling out between the girls. They all went their separate ways, but there was one character, which was Amy's character, who kept in touch with everybody and always tried to get them to be friends again. And it just never worked out. So she got sick, ended up passing away. And in her passing, her dying wish was to bring her friends back together again. So basically, she tricks them into showing up for a will reading in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And unfortunately, she strands them together so that they have to work together. She has a priest confiscate their keys, their cell phones, their everything, and they have to go on a scavenger hunt to get to the end and get their belongings back. So it's her way of forcing them to come together, work together, talk things out, which they eventually do and become friends again. So yeah.
Man, that is that. I love even how you explain it. Just seems well thought out. And knowing that it was to kind of, I mean, are you saying more or less it's 12 episodes condensed down into this 40-minute short film? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. So that sounds really cool. Like, I don't know. I haven't gotten a chance yet to see it, but
shame on you.
I haven't had like over 1,000 entries to watch here. But, and I have to do it blindfolded. So that's a whole nother discussion. But
that's crazy. I know. How do you tell? I hope our sound is good enough. Damn.
Oh, God. That was like our biggest struggle. We filmed this out at Malibu Creek State Park. And like wind and helicopters were our enemies. So, we definitely have our challenges
posed. Well, I was going to say, Alicona, after hearing like all the stuff you've worked on, like, you're like, oh, once I figure out I'm into this, like I'm into it. Like, you're like, oh, I was doing this, I was doing that, oh, I couldn't find any jobs, I made my own. Like, and so like, I which I love that like passion and drive. It's awesome. Yeah. And so, and I get that because I'm the same way. So yeah. Like, is this script here kind of like one of your, but is it, I mean, do you feel like this is one of your better things that you've done?
Yes and no. I mean, every time you write something, you grow as a writer, as a storyteller, and then you move on to the next project, and whatever mistakes you made in the last one, you're like, okay, not doing that one again. You know, and so it's like, I've since written other things that I'm like really proud of, but this was a cool collaboration because basically what happened is I took an acting class in 2020. Everything obviously was via Zoom. And again, I had heard a casting director say that if you tag me in a bunch of stuff, you know,
who can I?
So I reached out to these girls that I've never met before. I just always saw them weekly on Zoom and was like, hey, who wants to do a project with me? I'll write it. And I invited the entire class. Only three people responded. They were all women. Mm. And Amy lives on the East Coast. So I thought, okay, how can we create something where Amy can still act in it, but she can't physically get here? So that's why she was the girl who passed away, but she's in the film doing all these scavenger hunt videos, you know, telling the girl.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we got a little section with her and her daughter that was a flashback of when she was still alive. But
that's cool.
Yeah.
I really like that. It's creative.
Yeah. So anyways, that's how that all came about. And then I scouted. The mistake I learned from making films in the past is you write these extravagant things and then you have to go find the location and you're like, that sucks. Can't find it. So myself and another actress, Genevieve, we actually went to Malibu Creek Park and we were like, I'm going to look and see what's around in the environment and write these challenges based on what's in the environment. Now, we saw this massive creek that was so beautiful and full of water. Yeah, Diana's laughing because she knows. And I was like, okay, so we write this scene where one girl almost drowns. And then we show up. Mind you, I scouted this in February. We shot it, I think, in like May. And we show up and the creek is dry. Like, it's water. We're like, shit, maybe she falls on her face? And like, you don't know, I don't know. You know, and so we got lucky and found like a little gully of water somewhere, and it was only waist deep, so the actress had to just fake it and slip and fall under the water.
That was fun. That was really fun. We actually ended up adding we had one shot that we shot in the you know, the creek was dry. It's a big creek, it's not like a little one, it's like,
yeah,
you know, 20 feet wide. And so I had the DP put the camera in the lake. I'm like, put it right here. And we were in the creek bed shooting them, and I ended up adding the water in later. So I just went when the water was back, and I picked up some plates, and I just composited it in. So I'm like, we're going to get the damn water in the film. We have to show it, or people aren't going to get that they were like, had to avoid water. Why did they have to cross the water? So we ended up just kind of using special effects to fix that a little later. But that was, it was fun. RDP like didn't want to go to get wet because like I guess we somehow missed the memo that we needed water shoes, and all the actresses knew, they all had them.
Yeah, we all had them. Oh, my bad.
myself and the DP didn't, and neither did I think Frank had it. And so he didn't want to like really go in the water, so he jumped across like rocks and got on a rock, and then we passed the camera to him so it wouldn't get wet, and I just went in barefoot because I don't care. But but it was kind of funny. I think he wanted to stay dry because of the equipment, but it was a challenge, but we made it work.
Speaking of special effects, I don't think anything was blown up in this movie, am I mistaken? Like,
no, I know. Oh. It's not my MO. I know. we added a few little things. Like, I have a nice mountain shot where I did a sky replacement and I put in like a day to night sky and had all the stars come out and whatnot. And it's a little bit sci-fi looking, but it kind of works. And then, well, it works. It doesn't kind of work. It's nice. And then, like, we had, Arcona, do you remember the stuff I did? I don't know. I think we just, like, had a lot of compositing, a lot of cleanup.
Wait, what did you call her? Arc?
Some birds added that flew in the background.
And, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we had to composite all the screens on the computers. Like, they had a laptop. Yeah. And so, like, instead of doing playback and trying to film that while we're out shooting in like 100-degree weather and making everyone like wait till we get the shot with the person talking on the laptop, we just like, I just threw stickers on it. It was like, we're just going to composite that, just get the shot, and that's it.
And, I hear you.
Yeah, well, yeah, we had to shoot quick. We shot, what, 59 pages in 5 days, 4 days.
Wow.
5 days.
Four days and one pickup.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And we didn't look. I hope nobody legal is watching this. We didn't have permits, so we were hustling.
I'm editing that out.
Yeah. We were hustling, and then at one point, we did.
We didn't need them because we had a crew under eight in LA. Don't need them, even though like someone came by and shut us down because they were saying we needed them. But she didn't know what she was talking about. But it was the middle of COVID and their office wasn't answering. No one was there, and we're like, oh, well, you're shooting, we have a schedule, we're going,
man.
There was actually one point where, so one of our guys, our grip, is my friend Frank, and he's used to working on, you know, professional sets. At one point we were shooting and there was some teenagers like partying it up, but he was acting like he was on a real set. So he was walking over to like, can y'all keep it down over there? And da da da. And then I'm like,
hey, we're like, Frank, you can't do that.
Sir. You know, I was like, Frank, you can't just talk to people like that. They're not paid employees that you could just tell, they're like, shut up, you know.
That was funny.
Yeah.
And we had to calm them down. We're like, no, it's cool. Is it cool if we just do this? Can you be quiet for like 5 seconds? Like, it's cool, you know?
Yeah. And that's when we had like the whole audience watching us. And that was the scene where the girl had to act like she was drowning in like 3 feet of water. It's not embarrassing at all.
Oh, yeah. And we had shots left and right with like people in the background that we had to deposit out. Yeah. It took people out of the backgrounds a lot.
We're like desolate nowhere. And someone's just like, do, walking in the background. Whoops.
That was fun.
So Diana, as sort of like the outsider that was brought in, what was it about like the script of Lost and Found that you liked about it that made you want to like, you know, work with Ali Cohen? Like, what'd you like about it?
That was well written.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of scripts, and like I get people asking me to read theirs, or they're like, sometimes people randomly like email you scripts. If you've made a movie, they like email you and want you to read their script, and that's fine. But like a lot of the times the formatting's off, the length, like they don't even check their like grammar. The ideas aren't formulated. It doesn't.
You would hate anything I send you to read.
Oh no. It doesn't have to be, it's not like people have said like the stuff has to be formulaic, but it has to make sense in the way it's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I know there's like beginning, middle, end, each character should have an arch, blah, blah, blah. Once you get all that down, you can start breaking the rules and making something that works that maybe goes against it. Like there's a movie that's done completely in reverse. I forgot the name of it. It's an old film, but the movie starts at the end and goes to the beginning, and it works, you know, it even like somehow it just works. The character arc's in there, everything's in there. It's just in reverse. No, not the. He was growing in reverse. No, this was like What's His Face's one of What's His Face's first films.
It's not Pulp Fiction. I think.
No. It's an indie film. It has I can't remember the actor's name right now. I'll look it up while Ken is talking at some point. Bring it up later. But you know, so you can do that. But then a lot of people like don't. They're not doing it artistically or in a good way. They just, it's like they just wrote it out and they don't know what they're really doing, and the idea is not really thought out, and you know, and so there's just nothing. It's just, you know, it gets boring after a couple of pages. So at least with hers, it was like, it was well written. I was like, oh, this person actually knows how to write a real script. She might actually like be someone worth working with.
You know? That's high praise.
Yeah, it was just like, wow, you don't, you would think you'd get, I mean, I guess you get a lot of them if you're doing film festivals, you get people who polish their stuff, but like, on my end, you don't.
It would be, it's like 50-50. I've actually had to proofread a few scripts, and good God, like, people don't do spelling errors. Like, the simplest thing is not even about the story, but I would never hand something over to somebody that like, it doesn't take much to do spell check.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there's no excuse to not use spell check this day and age. I mean, that's a crime against humanity, essentially.
I have a buddy who started writing scripts, and he was just like, he showed me his script, and I was like, dude, this isn't formatted. He's like, what? I'm like, do you know, you don't have, I'm like, you need to format your script. He's like, but it's telling the story. I'm like, no. And so I got him to get finally I was like, get Final Draft.
Exactly. I literally was about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. He bought it and he calls me up after the first time using it. He's like, oh my God, what was I thinking? He's like, this is so easy.
That's funny.
I was like, see? And I'm like, funny. No one's going to read it if they look at it and it's not formatted. They're going to be like, oh, this person doesn't know what they're doing. You know, you could be the best writer in the world and it's not formatted right on page one. People are just going to be like, take it back. Because it's like you're used to reading it a certain way and it goes really quick if it's formatted properly. But when it's like a bunch of just paragraphs, you're like reading a novel and you're like, what is going on here? So it's really important to format properly when it comes to
Jonathan.
Stress,
you know? Jonathan, yes. Something.
Wait, what?
Oh, Memento. I remember the name of the movie. Remembered the name. It's called Memento.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that one's, I forgot the name of the guy. The actor's really good. He's really good. I forgot his name right now, but yeah, Memento.
Okay, Ali Conan. I'm mentally prepared, Ali Conan.
Yes, I mean, I'm also a host, by the way, so interview on. What inspired you to do this podcast and even like reach out to Diana to talk about this project?
Because, well, at the age of 14, I lost my sight in a car accident. And that day, I was going to have my first guitar lesson. And after the car accident, I learned to play guitar after I lost my sight. At the age of 15, my dad passed away. And by the time I was 18, my mom passed away. And so guitar and creativity, I now learned, played a big part in me kind of maneuvering through life at a younger age. And so I realized how important creativity is. And so the podcast is to promote creativity that people like yourselves are creating and people that are listening to inspire them to be like, you know what, I could do that, or I could be a camera person recording stuff or whatever, you know, just to inspire someone to do whatever their creative outlet is.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. I mean, it's cool that you were able to take such a horrific situation and turn it into something beautiful.
I've done a lot of other kind of creative things. Like, I mean, I learned how to play guitar, but I also created a Linux operating system that was used in over 30 countries.
Oh, I think you told me about that last time.
Yeah. So like, I held a highly attended open source conference held at Harvard University for quite a few years, like 4 or 5 years.
So it's like you lost your sight and then it like lit a fire under your ass to go do all these
kind of, yeah.
I gave you superpowers.
Seriously, in a sense, it made me kind of want to prove to myself, you know, I'm not going to let this stop me. I did a lot of stuff like that when I first lost my sight. One thing that I did is while I was still in the hospital, this is a long time ago. This is like 1992, I lost my sight. And so in the hospital, they had a Nintendo Entertainment System hooked up to like an old school TV on this like cart there wheeling around. And they were letting the kids get like half an hour time to like play with the Nintendo. And I asked the nurses if I could use it. They kind of like laughed and thought I was joking. And I said something to my mom later that day when she came to the hospital. I was like, yeah, they wouldn't let me use the Nintendo. And she was like, what? And so she went to the nurses and said, look, if my son wants to play the Nintendo, let him play. Like, even if he can't see, what does it matter to you? You know, like, just let him play. And they're like, okay, fine. And so when they were going to let me play the next day, so I asked my mom to bring in a couple of old games that I still had at my house. So when she brought them in, she brought in this Mike Tyson's Punch-Out game. And I could remember what the boxers were doing just by the sound of the game. And so I beat like the first 4 or 5 guys, and the nurses were like standing outside of my room watching, being like, what the hell? Like, so I would do stuff like that all the time when I first got out of the hospital, just to prove like, I'm not going to let this get in the way. Like it's a hurdle, but it's not it's not a stopper. So,
right. Well, I'm sure it's been really inspiring for other people, especially like listeners, if they do know your story, that they can do anything too, if they're living with any kind of whatever. So
totally.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Totally. Well, oh, thank you. Wow, well, Ali Conan, now how do I turn it back around on you? That's the thing. But I guess what I was going to ask you though is, obviously, like, clearly you're a good writer. We, you know, we have Diana's word on that. So do you prefer, like, producing, directing, writing, acting? Like, where do you shine the most, I guess?
I mean, I prefer acting, but okay. I have, again, I just, so my hair is orange.
I see that.
Yeah. And so, wait, I'm confused. How can you see that?
I see that.
I was messing with her.
Hold on. I was like, wait, so
I just blown. Oh, it's a Christmas miracle. excuse me. So, you know, and maybe it's just, I do believe in energy, and the story that you tell yourself is the things that you attract into your life. So maybe I did it to myself, but it's like, I've told you before, I'm half Japanese and I'm half white, and agents never really knew what to do with me or what category. Unfortunately, we get categorized a lot in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, she's Latina. And I'm like, but yeah. I can't speak Spanish. And I was getting sent to auditions where first of all, I can't sing, but it was like, sing this song in Spanish. I was like, pineapple. Kind of listening to the song that was playing, you know? And I was like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. And just no one ever knew what to do with me, on top of the fact that I have, my hair is always a different color. Like, that's how I express myself. I was a
makeup there you go.
For, yeah, many years. I love color, and I can change my hair for a role, you know, it's not a big deal, but I don't think people know how to see past that. And I was like, you know, I'm not booking anything as a brunette, so I may as well go back to being colorful and still be non-working, you know, and at least
I hear you
as a bright person. And so, that said, I've created lots of things, whether it be hosting shows, like I said, my little travel show, nothing's little, but you know, I created my travel show when I pitched to the Travel Network and Lifetime, and didn't sell anything. And unfortunately was told that because my show involved dance, it was a feminine show and they wanted to target a male audience. They also had told me at the time, so I showed up to this conference where different networks and production companies pitch and sell to each other. And at the time I was in my 20s, so I was the youngest person there. I showed up with a kimono on and a pleather pants and pleather corset and had a kimono floating in the wind. And I was like, you know what? You're going to remember me. You may not buy anything that I'm selling, but you're going to look at me and you're going to remember me as that girl that had the audacity to walk in with my corset and my kimono. And, you know, and the Travel Channel did this whole presentation on what they were doing this season. And I noticed that all the hosts were men. And so after they played their little reel, they asked if anybody had questions. And I stood up and raised my hand and was like, yeah. So I noticed that, like, all your hosts are men except for Samantha Brown. Is there a reason for that? And they're like, well, we're trying to target a male audience and we feel men resonate.
You're like, oh.
Yeah. And I was like, but wait, not that I'm trying to be this girl, but don't you think a guy would rather watch a girl in a bikini walking down the beach than like, no offense, I'm not body shaming anybody, but like these chubby old men that are just eating bugs. Like, what? I would, you know? And so they were like, we just feel like, yeah, men resonate better with men. The only way we would have a woman on our network is if she had a strong, dominating personality. So after the presentation and everybody everybody was exiting the conference room, I walked right up to that executive and I stuck my hand right out at him. And I said, hi, my name is Ali Kona Bradford and I'm a strong, dominating female personality. okay, you know. And so I pitched them the next day, and I pitched a female, and she was like, I love your show, I'll take it back to the network. Took it back to the network 2 weeks later. Well, your show involves dance. It was a show about cultural dance, but anyway,
that's cool.
Like, yeah, like exploring different histories.
I hear you.
Dance,
you know? That's
and awesome. She was like, but because your show involves dance, the network feels like that's too female oriented and we can't take it. And I was like, okay,
wasn't that what they were looking for at the time?
I mean, now it might be different, but anyways, yeah. I don't know how I got into it. The point is I've always been someone who's like, well, no one's hiring me, so I'm gonna hire myself. And I'm still in that boat, you know, like I'm still writing stuff. I wrote a movie recently. Diana, you're supposed to read my movie. By the way, I'm pulling you out.
Oh, actually, I just thought of a show you and Diana can do.
What?
Instead of, you still do the cultural thing, you still gonna travel around and visit other countries and stuff, but Diana is gonna find a thing to blow up there somehow or some way. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
So
no, my cousin's like, I have this one cousin who he looks like a big wrestler, and I saw him like recently, and he was like, oh, we go out and we blow up a bunch of stuff out in the desert. And I was like, I want to go with. And he like laughed. I'm like, no, I'm serious. He's like, oh, you do? And I'm like, yes, you call me. I want to go and watch you guys blow shit up.
Exactly.
So, like, yeah, because to me it's like, I want to see like what it really looks like, and then when I do it in effect.
Or you find something significant wherever you are. I mean, and obviously you don't actually blow it up, but I mean, no, like special effects or whatever, you can like, you know, be like, we're going to destroy the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, that'd be so fun. But you know, with oh god, what movie is it? I always think of Tropic Thunder, like the demolition guy played.
Oh by, yeah,
what's his face? Oh god, I'm forgetting everyone's name right now. What's wrong with me? But Danny McBride, sorry, Danny McBride's character, and he's just like about to blow stuff up, and he's like, big ass, you know. I don't want to say the word because I don't know what kind of podcast this is.
Yeah, yeah. But he no, blows stuff up,
and he's just
fine.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, yes. Totally yeah, understand see. What he's feeling right now.
So dear freelance writers, if you would like to submit a script to Diana, yeah, it has lots of explosions.
You gotta blow stuff up. Because if you're not, Diana will make sure something blows up in it.
Like, yeah, I was telling him a story about how when I was in film school, that some of the female teachers didn't really respect me because I just wanted to like do scripts with shit blew up. I just wanted to blow shit up, and they were looking more for like personal, like, I don't know, like
touching
stories about when it's periods or something. Yeah. I don't know, just stuff that I'm not really interested in, like, you know. But because I'm more, I like a complete person. You know, it doesn't matter if it's masculine, feminine, whatever. I just like the complete person instead of just like focusing on one little area. I'm not a slice of life movie. Like I told him, like, there's some slice of life movies that I like that worked really well, like maybe Precious, but it's like, you know, just usually that's not something I gravitate towards. I do like more like sci-fi acting, stuff like that. But I do, and I, as far as acting and stuff though, I tend to do really well with drama, which is kind of ironic. But
yeah, ooh, they will have to,
that's what I can
find. Like Conan, write something for you. There you go.
There you go.
Well, actually,
we're gonna do something together. We've been planning stuff. So
well, I was just gonna ask, like, what are you guys working on right now? Like, both of you guys, like, what are you currently working on? Like, do you want to give out like your websites and social media, whatever, like if you want looking for help from people and whatnot?
Absolutely. I would like to dedicate this section of the podcast to Dwayne Rock Johnson.
She told you she was funny, right? We have some comedy in that script.
She definitely has comedic value for sure.
Thank you. But seriously, so I met this guy who owns a production company. He's like, oh yeah, my friend is Dwayne Johnson's agent. Do you have anything for him? I'm like, no, but I can, you know. And I'm such a machine when it comes to projects, like when I write stuff. So I hold myself up for like 5 days and like banged out like a 95 page script and was like, okay, like, let's go. And then he wanted me to go through this whole process of getting like 100 people to read it that I didn't know, but to give it a thumbs up and like all these things. And I was like, hold on, I just wanted to give it to him, you know. And so
right.
Now I'm on a mission where I've done my rewrites.
That is funny.
Yeah. And by the way, I wrote it for both me and him, right?
Oh,
Yeah, duh. And so Diana has a copy. I have a new draft, by the way, Diana. I'm going to send you a new draft.
Oh, okay.
So I wrote
make
this.
Make sure that's in a safe place.
Yeah. So I'm giving a shout out. I just actually had an idea, you guys, today while sitting in the sauna. I'm going to share it with you. Maybe your listeners can help me out, okay? Mm-hmm. So I hosted this show, I'm all over the place. I hosted this show a long time ago called Hit the Floor, and it was going to get, it was an actual TV show and I covered it as a host, excuse me, and it was going to get canceled. So I teamed up while I was interviewing the showrunner and I was like, we're going to get your fans to help you get this show renewed for another season. So I came up with this whole campaign called Thongs for Hit the Floor 4, and I had all these fans of this television show email the network, which was BET, a bunch of thongs, and they wrote thongs from the fourth floor.
Like underwear thongs or
underwear.
Like
underwear. And I guess it worked. Like all these people sent this poor network executive boxes and boxes of thongs. And so he hit up the showrunner and was like, James, why am I getting all these? And he's like, I guess you have to do season four. And the show got renewed. So this morning.
That is freaking hilarious.
Right? And so how embarrassing, right? Like if he has a wife and he's like getting all the songs,
like, why are you getting women's underwear?
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to, I got to figure out how I can start a campaign. I'm going to have people send Dwayne's production company Lay's, like the.
Oh,
like
geez. Yeah,
it's a movie that takes place in Hawaii. It's called The Daddy Do-Over, and it's basically about a guy who has a tumultuous relationship with his daughter as a living person, because he drinks, he's an alcoholic, and then he passes away and comes back as a ghost, realizing he wants to rectify his relationship with his daughter. But it's a comedy, so it's like super funny, a lot of physical comedy because of the fact that he is a ghost and only she can see him. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have as many people as possible send some Lays. I don't want to send thongs. I'm respectful this time. And it's, you know, read the daddy do-over, do the daddy do. I'm just going to have a bunch of people send it to the production company and hope that they're like, what the F is this daddy do-over? Who is this Ali Kona girl? And maybe if we listen to her, she'll stop sending us all this shit. So I don't know. Anyways, that's where I'm at right now.
That's hysterical.
I love that you did that. That's freaking awesome. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So, all right. So back to like websites and social media and whatnot.
Oh, and by the way, yeah, Diane, I'll let you talk about the stuff because her and I also wanted to collaborate on some stuff. But my social media is at Ali Kona, which is A-L-I-K-O-N-A dot. This is so complicated. She's away. S-H-I-Z-U-E. _official Ali Kona. That's my, you know what? My personal one is so much easier. It has nothing to do with the entertainment industry. It's just yours truly, Ali Kona. I feel like people
there you go.
A lot easier.
There you go.
That's me.
Yeah. So she's got the two profiles. I have a website that I use for acting, DianaRenee.com, DianaRenee, which is my full name. And then .com. And then for directing, I do dkrenee.com, dkrenee. And then my Instagram handle is just at Diana Renee, with two N's on Diana.
It's funny because it shows you, like, Ali Kona's like, oh, here's my Instagram handle. And Dan's like, here's my website. You know?
I have one, but I just am not that creative.
I'm a tech nerd. I don't know if it's creativity or it's just like, I just really love technology. Like the second they come out with flying cars, which they already have, they're just not available yet. I'll probably order one. I have a Cybertruck on order. I love that crap. I can't get enough. I think it's because my dad, when we were kids, he'd have like TVs in the car, TVs in our rooms. He'd let me take apart the VCRs. I've been around it a lot. Yeah. So
that's cool.
You know. But that's why I have websites. I probably have like 50 domains I maintain.
I used to be the same way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's right. You're a tech person. So you get it.
Yeah. I used to be.
Not as techy as you. Like I'm not writing Linux code, but I do know what it is.
Yeah.
I
know what
the Linux operating system is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, I used to be really bad at that too, though.
Oh, yeah. And we did use a little touch of AI for this film. Because the program I was using had something to clean up the voice, and our sound guy cleaned it up the best he could.
Yeah.
And I ran it through their AI voice cleanup, where it's supposed to take all the stuff out of the background.
That stuff's pretty scary.
It didn't work very well.
I know. Yeah, I guess it depends on what you use. Some stuff seems to work well, and some stuff's like,
I went on Midjourney and I like put my photo in. I was like, do we do this photo? But in this situation, like trying to be like, oh, can I like cheat Instagram and like not have to put on makeup? And like get myself and different things. And, you know, and I just, and it couldn't do like, I just, I'm like, that maybe one kind of looks like me, you know? And I was like, and then some like account on Instagram, like made some AI art of me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I went on Midjourney and the little dudes there saw me doing that. But and tagged me in, and I was like, okay, one of them looks like me. one looks like me. So I just watched a tutorial the other night on how to like do the face swap thing, and I'm like, ooh, I can grab all these things and just do the face swap and say, put me in, you know, make me a Viking, make me an astronaut, make me a sci-fi warrior, you know, just like start flooding my Instagram with that. And I won't have to do any work except like nerd out in my room for a little bit. So I think that'll be fun. But there are a couple projects that I'm trying to do right now. I have a drama that I wrote, Alicona has a part in that, and she's going to help me with it, producing and stuff. And then,
are you going to act in it?
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote it originally. I was like, okay, what kind of films do really well, like on the festival circuit? What kind of like stories resonate with people enough to make it to the Oscars? So I looked up like who, like what films had won for best actress and best picture. And I kind of looked at the stories. I was like, oh, I think I know stories that could resonate like this. And I came up with a story that is, it revolves around, the meth and fentanyl abuse in Central California. And, you know, I call it Tulare. So it's because it's based in Tulare County. I have relatives out there. And I've seen it firsthand. I'm like, okay, this is something I know, something I can write. And so the story centers around that. And like I said, like, you know, I love to blow shit up, but I'm very dramatic too at the same time.
Yeah, you've seen that before.
Yeah. This is my drama coming out on this one. But,
Diana, Diana, can you talk a little louder? You're a little muffled.
Am I? Okay, yeah. Maybe it's, how does it sound now?
A little better.
Okay, because I do use my headphones. And then I have another one that I'm doing that's like, I don't know if you've seen Spinal Tap, but it's a mockumentary. Okay, yeah. That's a mockumentary that Rob Reiner did back in the day, completely unscripted. It's hysterical because at that time, like, it was shocking what they were doing with all the, like, fire and the horns.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh my God. So I came up with an idea for a mockumentary. I'm not going to say it yet because it's not filmed. And it's
okay.
So I can't like the other one I can copyright. This one I can't yet until it's filmed.
I hear what you're saying.
But it's about a band and they do very shocking things. And it's like modern day.
That's cool.
Situations, that's like stuff that's going on now.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have certain cast, like types of people I have to cast for it. And I've been working on that and I've got a couple already. And so, and that one should be a really, really fun project. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I get everyone to like, that something comes out of it. Cause when you go into something that's unscripted and it's just like, okay, this is what happens in this scene and let's just go for it. It's really like, and you can feed people lines and stuff. So I'll have like some certain lines that I definitely won't say, but you still have to have it very like, they have to be good. Like, you know, the actors have to be very into be able to improv, you know, to a certain degree. And so it's like, for me as a director, I'm going to put myself in it as like the director is interviewing them, like Rob Reiner's role, basically. And so basically you have to get your actors to be comfortable enough to say outrageous shit on camera.
Right.
Or they're, right. You know, get them cool with it. And like, so I'm casting people who are cool with it, who don't care. They're just like, yeah, let's do this, you know? And so, like I said, you have to keep your fingers crossed. You can only manipulate it so much. And then like the magic has to happen. So that one will be fun. So I've got one like really outrageous, fun comedy project. And then another one that's a drama. And, you know, I have other ones that I've written, but those are more, they're like, I can't go into production as fast on those ones because those are what I'm raising. I have to raise money for.
You're not doing anything leaning sci-fi or anything like that?
Well, I have a script called Homefront. I wrote it, I guess kind of during the pandemic. I have historically, like, you know, back in the colonial days, I have American Indian in my family. And like, I had a squaw married a fur trapper. And so that's how I got my American Indian. And so I've always been interested in it. And my mom, like, would always like bring stuff up about it, and because she had like a blood sister who was a Blackfoot Indian, so it's like it's something that's been, you know, because like my elementary school, if you were American Indian, you got like the American Indian education stuff, like the extra little stuff, like making acorn squash, like acorn mush, like, and this is, which is disgusting, by the way, but I've had it, and so like you learned a lot, so I wanted to do something that like kind of had a little bit of my heritage mixed into it.
That's cool.
Even though it's you know, I'm so mixed like culturally that even though like I look one way, but like I have like German, English, French, Dutch, all this crazy stuff, and then like all of Europe, and then American Indian. and culturally, they're all so different. Mm. You know, like the Germans are so different from the English, and
absolutely,
and, you know, and the French and so forth and so on. And so I wanted to do something where I got into that American Indian history, because a lot of their myths, you don't see it, like it's not out there in the media, and everything that has American Indians, it's from the point of view of the settler, you know, or the cowboy, or the person who came here. So I was like, I
war movies too.
Yeah, and they're war movies, yeah. And so, and this one's not a war movie, but so what I wanted to do is something from the, like, because I made the character, I wrote it for me, and so I made her where she's like 1/8 Indian, but she's still like, her tribe is her family, like, but she does, she's a loner, you know, like her, because her parents were loners, she's a loner still, and but her uncle is, you know, a tribal elder, and, you know, she does fur trapping, like her family, like it was a passed down trade, and she has a girl that she, you know, says she found on her doorstep that she raises as her daughter. And it's a mixed child, so like, you know, everyone kind of, it's, you know, for back then, it's a little bit, okay, that's a little weird, you know, people don't believe what's going on, but and so what happens is she goes into town one day because her crops are, you know, it's been a long winter, and so the crops are kind of not coming in, and so she has to do some extra trading, so she goes to the local store, the town store, where she sells furs, and she brings some extra furs to get some extra supplies at a time when she normally doesn't go. And the daughter she has with her, there's these outlaws that are in town, and they start messing with her. And of course, this woman who is, you know, a loner, rugged, fur trapper, so she's used to, you know, knows how to use weapons and all this stuff. So of course, she's not going to take shit, and she like pisses them off. She like basically, you know, injures the guy. She's like, because he's trying to touch her daughter, and it turns out he's part of this gang, and he goes and tells the leader of the gang, and then they decide that, oh, we're going to go kill this bitch, you know, because what she did to one of our guys, finds out where she is, follows her back because she knows what's happening, and the uncle sees the whole interaction of them deciding to do it because he's there and they don't know they're related, and so she knows they're coming, and he knows they're coming, and so she goes back to she's like, there's no point in running, we're just going to face this shit head on, and she goes and she sets a bunch of traps, and her uncle goes and he calls on an Indian deity, a demon basically, to come and protect her and the daughter. And so by time the outlaws get there, she's got traps set for them. She's killing them off one by one. But then they're also getting killed by an American Indian deity, a demon basically. So like you've got, they're getting hit from both sides. So it's a Western supernatural horror.
Man.
It hits all of it. And then I wanted to explore the whole American Indian deities and gods and
like skinwalkers, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to explore that more. So I ended up writing a series pilot that's a continuation of that film. And it's basically, by the end of the pilot, you learn that it's a very violent, very bloody, you know, horror-based pilot, you know, which a lot of, there isn't a lot of that. So I wanted something unique. You know, and something that, you know, if someone gets it, they're going to get it, you know, but so it continues after, because by the end of the script, her home, you know, which is like a log cabin type thing, is burnt down, you know, because of the fight with the guys and with the demon coming in and trying to, you know, there's a big, huge finale thing that involves the demon, the main outlaw, and her, and so that has like obliterated her place. All she has left is like maybe her barn with the horses, and that's it. And so they're rebuilding. It starts off where she's rebuilding, and this stranger, this demon hunter, comes into town because he's heard, because her child turns out is half demon. The deity is her father.
Oh man!
And so this demon hunter. So by the series, you know this, you know. And so this guy who's like an ultra, like, you know. I want to say, like, he's not ultra religious because he kills people, but he uses religion as an excuse to kill people.
Okay.
So it's crazy. He's crazy, but he dresses like a preacher and stuff like that. And so he comes to town and he calls himself a demon hunter. You know, he's really just been killing women and who he says are possessed. But he comes, he hears about the child, and he comes to get the child. And And so she doesn't know, and the kid like goes into town when she's not supposed to, and the demon hunter's there, and like the whole thing happens with that. So you find out that people find out about the demon, but at the same time, this other guy's coming to town, and he's got it. He's basically a skinwalker, and he has this issue where he starts to turn into it if like things get too intense, and he tries to hide it. And he, and by the end of the script, you learn that he's there because he felt a calling going there. And then you know, by the end of by the pilot close, what you learn is all these people, they're having this DNA in them. There's this Indian DNA. So not all of them are fully American Indian. So they just have to have American Indian DNA. They could be an eighth, they could be whatever. So you're having all different characters, like the guy who comes into town, he's a black albino. Because, you know, it's down the Trail of Tears, there were like, people who were part black. Yeah. And so I'm bringing in a lot of historical stuff too that people may not be aware of that's awesome. I find super freaking fascinating.
Absolutely. So I do too.
Yeah. And so I'm bringing all that stuff in. But, and so you find out that there's more of these people who have this stuff awakening in them, and they're becoming witches and skinwalkers and all these deities, and they're kind of having these powers. And that you realize what happened was when her uncle awoke. Atasaya, okay, I don't know if I pronounce it right, but and so I have a friend who's Indian, I'm gonna have to make sure I pronounce it right. Full Indian, but and so what happens is because he woke that deity in the first film, now they are they're angry, and they're don't like the way the world has gone, and they're gonna judge man right now. And so basically they're waking all this DNA, and eventually the series is gonna lead to a big war.
Wow.
Of all the American Indian deities, you know, the people who had that.
That's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's that, but it's going to be, you know, it's a horror Western supernatural.
Very cool. Very cool.
So yeah.
So Ali Kona, other than Dwayne Warrock Johnson, what else do you have on your plate?
I actually have a podcast that I've been doing.
Nice. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we haven't released any episodes yet because it's in post, because the way we shot it is both as video and audio, and we shot it almost talk show style. So we have three camera angles. It's called Your Unpaid Therapist, and we just talk about all the ish that you talk about with your really close friends. And one of my friends actually, he used to be a therapist. Now he's an actor, and he's actually a really successful podcaster. And so he'll come on and he'll give his tidbits on stuff.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So how many episodes have you done?
I want to say 12 or 13.
Nice.
And so right now, we're just going through fine tuning, cleaning up the audio. Like I said, I'm doing all the video editing. So I'm doing the three cuts back and forth between everything. So it's a lot of work.
It is.
I should have done what you're doing.
I've been podcasting since 2007, and that's exactly why I do it the way I do it. Like you're adding on a lot. I mean, there's people that probably watch the video, but I mean, it's a small percentage compared to the people that just are listening to the audio.
Yeah, I used to work for a company that Maria Menounos owned called AfterBuzz TV, and that's how they did it. So it's, I worked for them for 8 years, and I was like, well, this is how it works. But you know, they had a studio and they had all these engineers working, and everything was happening all at once, and all I had to do was show up and talk my butt off.
This time
I'm like, oh, so much technical stuff. So anyways,
if you had an engineer, you could skip the editing, you could just use OBS studio.
Yeah, do live.
You can use OBS and have a switcher board, and someone could just sit there with a switcher board if you can't do it. But like I did a little like thing on Twitch with a couple friends, and I just had my little whatchamacallit, you know, little black magic switcher board. You know what I'm talking about? You probably know, Jonathan.
Because all have a black magic
switch. Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. Let me open my drawer here in my desk. I think it's right here.
$300. It's like $300. It's their cheapest one. It's $300. It's not bad. And then you hook that up to OBS. Magic,
that's all I needed to hear, and I went,
oh. She's like, well, OBS is free. OBS is free, and then you can get OBS, and then you can do the little switching in OBS, and you can, as long as you have good mics, you can edit it as soon as you're done.
Yeah.
Because you're switching, you're doing live switching.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was only familiar with live switching because I did that in high school. You know, it's like, you could do that and save yourself like a boatload of time.
Well, we're done with season one. We're done. I'm just
season two.
So yeah, but anyways, to answer your question, that's what I've been working
on. Your unpaid therapist, right?
Yes, your unpaid therapist. And
that's a hysterical name.
Yeah. So just that, and definitely trying to get that script out to Mr. Johnson, so we can go ahead.
I love The Rock. I love The Rock.
Yeah. All right. So, Ali Kona, what advice would you give to someone that's wanting to break into the film industry, like writing, directing, producing? I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but what would
Oh my God, making yourself. you know, and you learn and you make a lot of mistakes. So I didn't think when I started doing all this stuff, YouTube wasn't super popular. Like, it was around, but you wouldn't think to go there to tutorialize, right? So I learned a lot of stuff, watch tutorials. And it is, unfortunately, that whole thing that I hate when people say who you know, but it is who you know. Because, you know, you call up your friend and you're like, hey, help me with this project. So it's like, I would get involved with different communities. Like, it's so funny because this year my goal was to just go to a bunch of film festivals. I had no intention of actually being in them. I didn't know that Diana was going to submit to all these festivals.
Oh, we have Studio City coming up.
Yes.
We're playing on the 4th. Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, so it's like, go out, meet people, join meetup groups or whatever, people that have the same interests that you have, so that way you guys can work with each other and use each other as resources. Because let me tell you, doing it all by yourself is so hard.
Absolutely.
So it's like meeting people in your community and just being open to, and be that person that's like, hey, you want to work on something together? Hey, like, everything I've done has been me saying, hey, friend, hey, person, hey,
I hear what you're saying.
And figure it out and be okay with the fact that it may come out shitty, and that's okay, because the next time around, it'll be a little bit better.
Have you written a lot of things as a writer?
Yes and no. Like, I've written some really silly sketches that I put on my Instagram, but I learned how to, or I figured out how to, with a green screen, act opposite of myself, because I was having so much trouble finding other actors to work with. So it's like me times three on a screen, you know, and I'm in a wig and
wow,
this one.
Wow, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I'm in a leotard and this one.
I can't even see what you look like. He knows it's scary already.
I did a, I totally missed that joke. Like, so I'm like,
like, what are you laughing at? It was a long joke. It was a tongue in cheek.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, I did a sketch where it was like a WWE sketch. I played the announcer and I played two wrestlers that were wrestling myself. So at one
point, hilarious.
Yeah, dude, I was at a green screen and I was on top of a chair horizontal, like, ah, and then I had to shoot it again where I was the person underneath me holding me up, throwing me across the room. So, you know, and those are silly and funny. And I actually, it's so funny, I said Dwayne Johnson, because I put him in, I did a rap called Baby Got Gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Baby Got Back.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's a vegan rap because I'm vegan.
Okay.
But anyway, so I've made rap videos. Like, I've done all sorts of stuff that at the time seemed like great ideas. And I go back and watch them, and I'm like, I look like a jackass. But that's okay. I now know how to edit a three of them.
No, I hear you.
Whatever.
I hear what you're saying.
Question was,
yeah. Well, it was like, you know, you're saying, like, kind of get in there and do it, and like, you're gonna learn as you go along the way.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to, you know, make campaigns with thongs and shit.
Exactly.
And find a way to make
point. You got your point across. You got your point across. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But no, awesome. Thank you so much, Diana. How about yourself? Like, what advice would you give someone?
No fear.
No fear.
Don't be afraid to do stuff, man. Just go out and do it. Yeah. Take that, you know, everyone's got imposter syndrome in the beginning. It's fine. Everyone feels scared because they don't know stuff. Just wipe it off, throw it away.
Ooh, and
go make your films.
Find people that have the same work ethic as you do, because if you don't,
that's impossible.
It's hard. No, but you know what? It is. It's so
if
hard.
If you can, if you can, claw onto it, because it's really hard. Really, really hard.
Yeah. Be that person, though. Be that person that does work tirelessly. you know.
I hear
as
you.
As long as you can. But, yeah. You know, work. I do work hard, play hard, so I'm kind of in that camp.
I think you're right, though, Diana, like for the no fear thing, because I think a lot of people can look at, you know, say even a blockbuster film and just be like, oh my gosh, I could never do something like that. Why bother?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And yeah. Then they just never start because they just think they're not capable of that when, hey, the people that got that blockbuster film are people just like you, you know?
They started somewhere.
Exactly.
Unless they're someone's like kid or relative who got hooked up, but other than that, the whole industry can't be related. So there's space there somewhere.
Exactly. You know? Which comes back around to the reason this podcast is to ignite. Like everyone has a creative inkling in them. The point is to figure mm-hmm. out what that creative spark is in each person. Mm-hmm. So yep. that's the key to it all.
What's your motor? What keeps you moving? What gets you up in the morning?
Yeah. Like, obviously, Ali Kona found her thing. Like, she wouldn't be as active. Like, okay, fine. I can't find any acting gigs. I'm going to write my own thing to act in. Like, obviously, you found your thing when you're doing that. Like, if you didn't love it, you wouldn't be that so gung-ho about it.
Right.
You know? Like, you wouldn't be as on fire. Like, and you don't have to try to be like that. You just are it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you know what I like about Ali Kona is like, she says she's going to do something. She does it, you know? So she's not one of these people. I don't know. It's just like, you know, it's like she said, it's hard to find. I mean, she didn't say it was hard. She said, find people.
Yeah. You said it was hard.
Yeah. I said, it's really hard. And you can see why I keep in touch with her.
Absolutely. So,
But it's kind of nice though to find people like that, and we do have, like, even though our backgrounds are different, they're similar. Like, I was on dance team in high school and stupid shit like that. So I like her background. I get along with it.
You know I hear you. Yeah, you compliment one another.
Yeah.
So totally. I get that. So awesome. Well, thank you both for coming on. I appreciate it. Thank you, Ali Kona, for Lost and Found. Without you, you know, you working and being creative, there'd be no reason for the Tornado Film Festival. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. So guys, thank you so much both for coming on. Do you have any final words? Any final words for the audience?
Send a lay to Jarock Johnson.
She is on a mission.
She is. I think we're going to have to get this thing started. Like, you know, it's just wrong that script is just waiting for him.
You guys are going to see it one day in the theater and be like, I heard about that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
Make sure you come out and see Jonathan's Film Festival.
Yes.
Thank you.
He works hard.
Thank you. All right. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And don't forget to embrace your storm. See ya.
Bye.
Tornado with Jonathan Nadeau. If you haven't yet, please subscribe now so you're first to hear new episodes with more stories of inspiration about the highs and lows of life and how embracing the storm is so much more fulfilling of a life than being crushed by the weight of the world. And until then, we hope you're inspired to do something, whether it's creating, participating, or learning, whatever leads you to your personal passion.